Today is the third Sunday of Misra, and we read the passage from the Gospel where the scribes were accusing Christ of casting out demons by the power of the demons themselves. And Christ responded to them, and he said, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand." So if Satan's house was divided, his kingdom couldn't stand. But the fact that actually that's the devil has been very successful in what he sought out to do. The devil was created originally as an angel of light and given by God many gifts that were to be used for the glory of God. But instead, the devil took those gifts and he used them and perverted them and turned them to evil, so that instead of using them for the glory of God, he is now using them to try to attack God and to try to destroy his children. But actually, it's a testament here when Christ is speaking about the devil and saying that if his kingdom is divided, it cannot stand. And yet we know that it does stand because he is not divided. So what Christ is saying is the devil, his kingdom is not divided. And yet when we look at ourselves, perhaps even in the church, we find that there are many divisions. And we find there are many things that we do that maybe we shouldn't be doing that the devil himself doesn't do. And we ask sometimes, why is it that he's so successful in attacking us? Why is he so successful in tempting us? Why has it been for thousands of years that he has successfully caused us to fall over and over? Maybe because of his unity. Maybe because all the demons are gathered together with one purpose, which is to destroy us. So we'll look briefly today at some of the things that the devil has in his kingdom, and maybe some of the things that we ourselves lack, that if we had, we would be able to stand up against the temptations of the devil better. In Isaiah 14, Isaiah the prophet, he speaks about Lucifer and the fall of Satan in a prophecy. And he says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? And how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? Those who will see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, 'Is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities?'" So it's a testament here again to everything that the devil has done throughout history. Weakened the nations, made the earth tremble, shook kingdoms, made the world a wilderness, destroyed its cities. All of this because all of the demons and the devil are united for this purpose, that they're trying to destroy us. Imagine if the people of God were united in the same way, united in holiness, united with one purpose, united with one goal, united in God and with each other for the sake of holiness. What is it that we could accomplish if the devil, who is far from God, who is not being aided by God or through the power of God or in any way, is able to accomplish so much? Imagine if we are aided with the power of the Holy Spirit, united in one voice and in one mind, of what it is that we could be able to accomplish. So let's again look at some of the characteristics of the devil and compare him to us. So we speak about unity today in Mark 3. "So he called them to himself and said to them in parables, 'How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end.'" So there is absolutely no division. See, the demons are not competing with one another to take credit for who is the demon that's going to make us to fall. All they care in the end is that we fall, whether it's by one demon or another, through one temptation or another. They are working together for one purpose. But actually, if you look at us, maybe we find that there is a lot of different divisions. We have divisions in the churches. Maybe we war and fight with one another. We have envy and jealousies with one another. We attack each other. Maybe the servants are quarreling with each other, or the people are not following the priests or the bishop, or there's all kinds of divisions that we have in the church, which keeps us divided and separated. In the book of Titus, it says, "But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless." A lot of times we focus on things that are useless. We focus on little trivial things, and we elevate them in our minds and make them to be a very big deal, and we fight and quarrel and lose our peace with each other for something that is certainly not worth it. It's certainly not worth that these small little matters would divide us and separate us, because what happens when we are divided? The devil knows that we will fall, that once we are divided, we will fall. We also find division in families. It may be between spouses that are fighting together about trivial matters. each one trying to control the other person or trying to force their will on the other, or putting each person's personal needs above the needs of others. These are some divisions in our families. Or children against parents. Maybe the children lack respect to the parents, or they are disobedient to them, or not willing to submit to them, or not trusting that the parents have the good intentions toward the children. Oftentimes our children nowadays, they always want to understand why. Why is it that you're asking me to do this? They don't just trust that the parents are doing what's for their own good. They have to understand and be convinced that this is why I'm doing it. We should teach our children to obey without understanding. They should trust the parents, that the parents are doing what is good for them. Maybe in the future, the children, when they grow older, they will understand, but they should obey now even without understanding. This also causes divisions in families. And also sometimes it's the parents' fault as well to cause divisions. Sometimes the parents are too strict on their children, or they don't treat them fairly or equally. Sometimes parents don't spend enough quality time with their children, which affects the relationship in the home. And sometimes we're distracted too much by work or other things that we're doing and neglecting spending time with our kids. All of these are things that cause divisions. All of these are things that cause divisions in the family. The third type of division is the division of the self. That we ourselves are not united, even in our mind and our heart and our body are all not united as one being. We have different things working in us, pulling us in different directions, and we are not all just like one heart with one will. For instance, hypocrisy. In James 1:26, it says, "If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." Sometimes from the outside, we do many pious activities, we come to the church, we pray, we do many things that from the outside, someone could look at us and say, this is a very pious person, a very spiritual person, a very religious person. But maybe in my heart, it's completely different. And maybe during the times where people are not observing me, the way that I act, the things that I say, or the things that I do, is a reflection of really what's inside my heart. So there's again a division between what the people see from the outside and the way I portray myself in the outside, and the way that my heart is from the inside. Also, another division of self is the desire for praise. Sometimes we're doing things because we want to gain praise from other people, but our actions are not genuine. Matthew 6:1 says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven." Again, are we doing something from the outside just to be seen? This reflects a division in our hearts, that we are not united. And when we are divided in this way, we make ourselves very vulnerable to the temptations of the evil one, because he comes and attacks us, and he sees that we are not united and that we do not have a way to fight against him, because we are fighting with ourselves. So whether it be an internal division inside myself, a division inside the families, a division inside the church, we see that as Christians we have so many divisions, and these divisions are hurting us. And oftentimes, again, we focus on trivial things and reasons to quarrel with one another instead of seeing how this is an opportunity for the devil to come and divide us further and further. So actually here, Christ, in mentioning that the devil's kingdom is united together, this is actually a lesson for us that we should also be united. How is it that we can fight against him unless we are united ourselves? So this is one of the things as far as the devil's kingdom is that he is united. What are some other things? The second is he's very patient. He's very patient. The devil continues to tempt someone their entire life without ever giving up. We oftentimes, when it comes to pursuing a virtue or any kind of righteous deed or righteous act, we maybe struggle in it for a little while, and then we give up and say, I can't do it, this is too difficult. The temptations are not stopping. I'm not able to overcome this sin. I keep going to confess the same sin again, and we give up, and sometimes we have the attitude, well, okay, if I'm going to sin, I'm just going to go all out and sin just to, you know, indulge. Because either way, I'm not holy. Either way, I can't do it. So we give up very quickly. The devil never gives up. The devil continues to attack those people who are the most righteous. Saint Macarius, even as his spirit was ascending to heaven, the devils continued to tempt him, even so that somehow after this point, he would fall into pride. You see how vigilant they are in attacking us. They don't say, you know, this person is so holy, there is no point in even us trying to attack him anymore. We're just going to leave him be. Let's focus on the other people that are less holy. Maybe those people we can get. They attack us all. And actually, those who advance further in the spiritual life maybe are attacked even more. So you see the patience of the devil. In Job 2:2, it says, "And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. He gives us a picture that the devil is constantly watching. He's constantly around. He's constantly seeing what we're doing, patiently waiting for his opportunity to attack us, observing our actions, seeing what we do and seeing what our weaknesses are. And he's had so many years to perfect his technique that he continues to attack us with. What about us when it comes to our patience? How easy is it for us to lose our patience? How easy is it for us to give up quickly and maybe even become angry at God when things are not going the way we'd like? In Luke 21, it says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience, possess your souls. By your patience, possess your souls. As in, the only way that we will be able to have salvation is through patience, that all of the promises of God will not be manifested to us immediately in one day. That is a struggle, and is something we have to continue to walk in all the days of our life, fighting and warring against the devil, and continuing in prayer and fasting, and in everything that we're doing spiritually to grow. This is why when we simply have these small little bursts of revival that are then quickly die off, and then we go back to a normal life again, without any memory, without any desire to continue walking in a stricter way of life, in a more disciplined way of life, we quickly fall away again. This goes back to our patience. We have to have patience and wait for God to work. Just like when you plant a seed in the soil, if it is a good ground, even if it's well watered, even if there's sunlight, even if the ground is good, the plant does not immediately start to grow from the first day. You have to keep watering it. Even though everything internally is starting to grow, everything is starting to form, but it's invisible until such a point where we start to see it. And even when the plant begins to grow larger and taller, you still don't see the fruit. You still don't see the flowers until a certain stage where suddenly the flowers and the fruit appear. So this is the same way with us in our spiritual life, that we're called to be patient and to continue doing what is good, trusting that God will complete it for us. The next point is discipline. We look actually how disciplined the demons are in what they do. In 1 Peter 5:8, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Again, it shows us how intent the devil is to destroy us. He's not lazy by any means. He is very calculating. He is seeing and observing like a lion, who is it that is weak that I will devour him next? Who is it that I will consume him? There was one time a hermit who was speaking to some demons, and he asked them, what makes you go away? Is it fasting? And they replied to him, we do not eat or drink. Is it vigils? He asked. They said, we do not sleep. So the things that maybe cause us laziness, the things that maybe we go after, is actually these very things, food and sleep and rest and amusement. And these things that we go after, maybe in an undisciplined way, that then allows the devil a place to come in and to war with us. He wars with us through these things, and he wars with us because we are not ready. He is very disciplined. He is a lion who is waiting to devour us, and we are sitting back and allowing him in and not protecting ourselves, and we don't see that there's any danger from the way that we're living. This is again why the devil has been so successful in overcoming the children of God for so many years and tempting us over and over and over, and how many have fallen because of him. We actually only have to look at his techniques and learn from the techniques he's using and apply them ourselves. Just as he is disciplined, we should be disciplined. We struggle with laziness and making good use of our time. In Proverbs 26, 14 and 15, it says, as a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. Abuna Benjamin actually mentioned this verse in his sermon during the revival. That imagine someone who is eating, so you're already eating, you're not doing something necessarily useful, but you're eating, and then you're so lazy you can't even bring your hand back to your mouth after you've put it in the bowl to get the food. Is this the kind of life that we have? So we are very distracted, actually, with so many things in life. We're distracted with maybe relationships we have with other people, with food, with rest, with work, with fun and entertainment. All these things in themselves are not bad, but when we put overemphasis on them, and they become the actual purpose and goal of our life, is to seek entertainment, is to seek relationship, is to seek rest, is to seek food. When these things become the goal, then we are leading an undisciplined life, and it opens the door for the devil to attack us. The next point is knowledge. What kind of knowledge does the devil have? Actually, Satan has studied us very well. and he understands our psychology very well, and he knows the Word of God very well. Actually, Satan quoted scripture to Christ when he was tempting him in the desert. We read in Matthew 4:6, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." So the devil is quoting scripture, and he's quoting it to God himself, to Christ. He's telling it to him in a form of a temptation. He's trying to get him to misunderstand or to reinterpret a verse that he already knew in a different way to justify his own actions. And this is the way that demons tempt us all the time. For those of us who know the Bible, then he will come and there'll be a verse in the Bible, and then he'll give us a different meaning to this verse, a way to maybe justify. Actually, this is an example of how some people who are Christians and call themselves Christians can believe that homosexuality is good and believe that it is accepted in the Bible, because they read the verses in the Bible and they reinterpret what the verses are talking about. Instead of using Sodom and Gomorrah as an example of how God condemned homosexuality, instead it became that God was condemning inhospitability, that people are not being hospitable to one another. That's what was being condemned. And then people justify their own beliefs and their actions because of the temptations that they're experiencing by the devil to have them to do this. So we fall into this trap when we ourselves are not knowledgeable. Are we aware of the devil as much as he is aware of us? The devil believes in us. Do we believe in him? A lot of people go through life not believing really that there is a devil, or that the devil is active in the world and that he has demons that are trying to cause us to fall. And because we don't recognize him as existing or as being active, we very easily fall into sin because we are not aware of his attacks, and we are not aware of his devices and of his plans and his plots and all the ways that he works. When we read in the church fathers and read in the gospels and we read all throughout the scriptures, we begin to get a sense of how does the devil work. And I should always be careful, guarding my heart, guarding my senses, so that I do not give him an opportunity to tempt me. In Hosea 4:6, the prophet says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." This is God speaking. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because we do not have knowledge, and I don't just mean academic knowledge, we don't have experiential knowledge of God, then we fall. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The devil has no lack of knowledge. He understands very well. He believes in God. He knows the power of God. He knows who we are. He knows that we are the beloved of God, his children. And he uses all this to his advantage. But do we use the information and the knowledge that we have to our advantage to fight against him or not? The last point is the awareness of God. The demons, again, they know that God exists, and they acknowledge him. In James 2:19, it says, "You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." They tremble. They know that God exists, and they fear him. Sometimes they fear him more than we fear him. They simply hate him, though. And because they hate him, they try to attack him in the only way they can. He is invincible. He cannot be defeated. So all they do is they try to attack us, who are his beloved children. When they attack us, they try to hurt God through attacking us. Why do you think the devils care about us so much? They don't care about us. They care about hurting God. And because they know that God loves us, when they hurt us, they hurt God. Imagine you have your children, and someone hurts your children. Maybe this is more than anything else, the way that somebody, if they wanted to hurt you, they would hurt your children. That would be the most painful thing that could happen, is because they hurt your children. More than if they hurted you themselves. So in the case of God, God cannot be attacked. God is all-powerful. He cannot be attacked. So they attack us who are his children. But they do not doubt him. They know him. But what about us? So we know, of course, there's some people in the world that are atheists that don't believe in God at all. But what about those of us that do believe in God? Do we live a life that is reflecting of that faith that we believe in God? Do we easily forget about God on a daily basis because we go through different things that makes it difficult to remember God, and we lose hope? We lose hope in that God exists? Or do the actions that we do in our life really reflect as though we are atheists, in the sense that, yes, I have an academic knowledge of God, but I don't have a real faith in him. I don't actually put my faith into practice. James 2:14 says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?" Just because we say we believe in God and just because we come to the church doesn't mean that we have salvation. Salvation is something that we have to acquire through our struggle and the grace of God working in us. It's something that we have to continue to fight for. When St. Paul says in the book of Hebrews that we have not yet strived to bloodshed, struggling against sin. We have not reached the point of shedding our own blood to keep ourselves pure and sanctified in the eyes of God. So it's not a mental faith, it's an active faith. If the demons are aware of God, they know how to get what they want. But we, because when we are attacked, do we remember that God is our help? That God is the one who is there to protect us from the attacks of the devil? Because the devil certainly is far, far more powerful than any of us. If we try to stand up against the devil one-on-one, we will lose every time. But when we call to God for help, and when our focus is on God, God saves us from his attacks. So again, we have to be aware of God. We have to be aware of God to be saved from him. So one of the important lessons that we get from today's sermon, from today's gospel, is that the kingdom of the devil is not a divided kingdom. And even though that the devil is evil, and everything he does is for the purpose of evil, remember that he was the most powerful angel. He was an angel of light created by God. And God gave him many gifts. And yet he took those gifts and perverted them and used them for evil. God has also given us many gifts, many, many gifts. And the greatest gift is the Holy Spirit that is working in us, protecting us from all of these spiritual enemies. But what have we used with the gift? What have we used with the gift of the Holy Spirit that he has given us? Are we using it as a weapon to fight against the devil? Or are we putting it on the side and we're just indulging our lives in many things? So the first we said was divisions and unity. We need to be united as one people with one mind, with one heart, forgiving one another and having mercy on each other as God has mercy on us. And being united so we can fight him together. Because if we are divided, either in our churches or in our families or in ourselves, then we will fall. The second is patience. We have to wait to give God an opportunity to work. We can't, from the first prayer that I ask God for something to help, if God doesn't respond, I lose hope. I'm now in despair. And I stop praying and I stop trying. We have to continue struggling. Just as the demons continue to attack us our entire life, we have to continue fighting back against them our entire life. And through that, we will receive salvation. The third point was discipline. Just as the devils are very disciplined in attacking us, and they do not waste any time doing anything else, but always focusing on their goal of destroying us, we also have to be vigilant in focusing on attacking back, that we have to be defending ourselves from them, that we have to do positive spiritual activities so that we can grow closer and closer to God and be protected from the attacks of the enemy. The fourth point was knowledge. We have to understand the Word of God. And instead of perverting it the way that the devils do, we have to understand it in the true way, in the way that the church teaches, so that when we are tempted by the devil to misunderstand something or that he tempts us out of our ignorance, we can go to the Word of God, we can go to the church fathers, we can go to our spiritual guide, and they can tell us, this is what God says, this is what the Word of God is, that we can use it to attack, as the sword of the Spirit to attack the attacks of the enemy. And the last point was the awareness of God, that we are always aware that God exists, and that we are calling on him for help to protect us against the devil and his demons that are far more powerful than us, but with the grace of God, we can defeat them. And glory be to God forever. Amen.